We make a strong ishtadlus every year, and we hope every year that it should be the last year that we have to make the ishtadlus, to try to practicalize, make it l'maise, to be mekayim what Chazal require of all of us. And really the requirement is not just Tisha B'Av. It's really a year-long requirement that Chazal have given us, which is very hard to keep. I always felt that this is the hardest emotional mitzvah to be mekayim. The Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash. The Shulchan Aruch states that the Avelus on Beis HaMikdash is really not the Afka Tisha B'Av. Roy L'chol Yirei Shamayim, and the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch uses is very specific. She Meitzar Tomid V'Doyeg Al Chubin Beis HaMikdash. Meitzar means you're in pain. Okay? And doyeg means you're worried. You're worried, what's going to be? What's going to be with the Beis HaMikdash? And that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say on Hilchos Tisha B'Av. That's brought down in the opening of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph. That's the lifestyle of an observant Jew. That's the way he's supposed to live. What does worry mean? Worry means, lo yaleinu, we should know, just over the last couple of weeks, several people here in the community came to me where they got a test. The doctor found the growth. Baruch Hashem, two have already gotten back to me today that it's nothing, Baruch Hashem. When they're waiting to get the results, they're doyeg. They're worried. We have Baruch Hashem, I have Erlich doctors here, they could tell you what the feeling is like, what the patient is, the matzah of the patient is in. Doyeg, doyeg. Rachman al Islan, somebody has some kind of machla, and they have to take periodic testing to see the status of it. So that's a constant state of doyeg. I'm close with, unfortunately, with many people that have such conditions. And I know that they're in a constant state of doyeg. There isn't a time by day or by night. They're worried. And the reason is very simple. Baruch Hashem, they love themselves, and they should. A person should love themselves. And they realize that there's something here that puts that at risk, that puts their health and well-being at risk, so they're worried. What's worried about the Churban Beis HaMikdash mean? What does that mean? Have you ever met anybody that's worried about the Churban Beis HaMikdash? I haven't met people like that. Have you ever met somebody that looks off balance? You say, what's wrong? I'm worried about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You think there's something wrong with them. You would almost think there's something wrong. You'd send them to a psychiatrist. Are you worried? What are you nervous about? Don't worry. We've been around already thousands of years without it. Baruch Hashem. Look at Kol Yisrael. Look at the yeshivas. Look at the Meisters HaTorah. Look at Stalker. Look at Chesed. What's great? Yeah, it would be a cherry on top of the cake. We could have a Beis HaMikdash too. We don't even know what it is. But the Shulchan Aruch says that a person has to be in a constant state of concern, of pain, and of worry. Worry, doyek? Worried about the Beis HaMikdash. I remember when we were away for Pesach in a hotel, and one of my children were lost. We couldn't find them. Turned out they fell asleep in a corner of the hotel somewhere. But for like 2 hours, I couldn't find the child. Happened to be once I was in the middle of giving shir here, one of my children fell asleep behind the couch in the house. My wife couldn't find him. So anybody who's been in that matzav knows they're worried. You can't think about anything else. You're worried. What's going to be? How does one worry about a Beis HaMikdash? I'm talking about an Erel Chayit. I'm not talking about the... I'm talking about an Erel Chayit. We mistakenly think that it's something to do with Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av was supposed to... Tisha B'Av is a day where we're supposed to be engrossed in Averos. But the concept of being concerned and thinking about the Beis HaMikdash is a year-long mitzvah. There's no end to that mitzvah. I'll just quote for you some of the halachas in Shulchan Aruch, of what it says, what a person's table is supposed to look like the whole year. The Shulchan Aruch reads right over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishachor of Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Tiknu Chachomim Sheboi Se'ado, She'in Boinin Lo'elom Binyan Mesuyit. They put certain limitations on construction. Okay, today we're not doing that way. But limitations on construction. How much you can build and what you could build. And then they were misaken that when a person builds a home, Mishayer Mokom Amal Amma Kenegar HaPesach Below Seed. You leave an Amal Amma parallel to the door that's unfinished, below seed. You know how many times I get called to people's houses? For Zeichel Chum. People want to know where they can put it. Recently I was in a house, the lady wanted to put it in the coat closet. The Zeichel Chum should be in the coat closet. And she had a chop because I said it has to be Kenegar HaPesach. The coat closet was Kenegar HaPesach. I said, yeah, but people are not blessed with x-ray vision. So even though it's Kenegar HaPesach, they don't see it. A very Erlich Ben Torah, actually a Machanach, who did work on his house in the community, he asked me, is it okay if he puts up a beautiful picture of the Koisel? Nice, expensive piece of art in place of the Zeichel Achum. And he had a lundish of art. You have to remember, Zeichel. See, he remembers. So I explained to him that that's not the concept of Zeichel Chorban. The concept of Zeichel Chorban is that your home is a shtickel Chorban. I remember by Reb Yankov Zatzal, the basement once got flooded. You know, in Muncie, I'm sure all of you have experienced that once or twice. And you know how it is when the basement gets flooded and the mold and the smell and the carts, it's mis. It's mamish shekel. I remember Rabbi Yankov said, it's not so bad. The concept of Zeichel Chorban means that you can't finish your home because something's missing. I was in a person's home 2 years ago. A guy lost his wife, and I thought it was a beautiful thing. He doesn't sleep in his master bedroom. He sleeps in a regular bedroom. He says he can't sleep in a master bedroom without his wife. He misses her. He's missing. He can't appreciate his master suite without his wife. I was very taken by it. I thought it was very nice. It was a special thing. Such a feeling. The concept of the Zeichel Chorban is not that you should, that like you check your mezuzahs, you get your rov to come in and find the most inconspicuous place where you could be Yotze Kenegar HaPesach, but yet you have your Amal Amma. Sometimes people make, you know, it's cream, the paint is cream, and then they make a pastel white Zeichel Chum. So if you're a color expert, if you call Mrs. Welton, she could see that Zeichel Chum. But no person walking into the house would ever see the Zeichel Chum. The concept of Zeichel Chum is really, we have to live as somewhat of a churba. So we're not living in a complete churba, even though that's the way it should be. So we have a zecher for it. That's not finished. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Mishabura brings down, you should immediately see it. Baruch Hashem, I was brought up in a home where the living room, when I was a young kid, it was orange. The paint on the wall, like an orange color. And the Zeichel Chorban that my father made, Zohar Gesundheit, was black shoe polish. So there was an 18 by 18 box right when you opened the door of black shoe polish. A box, a big box on against orange, an orange background. So there was no Shiloh when you walked in. So much so that when the living room was paneled eventually, because those days that was the new style to panel the living room. So when they would panel the living room, so my father took the shoe polish then and made the shoe polish on the wood panel. But it wasn't as noticeable as it was before against the orange background. But when people walked in, they used to say, did it come through? It was so stark that they made like it came through the wood panel. So I wasn't brought up in a house where the Shiloh was, you know, to make a Zecher L'Churban white against off-white, the cream, make a nice picture. Through that, you'll remember, make a Zecher for the Zecher L'Churban. But this is what the Mishabura says. Kidei sheyishkech tomid ha-churban ha-noira. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Ha-aruch shulchan l'orchem. When you set up a table for guests, you should leave something out. Minich mokum ponui. This is a lifestyle. This is not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you're not serving any guests. This is the whole year. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. When a woman puts on jewelry, tei mechaseres mashu. She should leave something because churban beis hamikdash. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that there were some places where they were noyik, where they would fast 2 days a week, Monday and Thursday zeichel l'churban. So these are halachas that govern year-round. This is not afkan on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day where it's a shiva like, you're sitting shiva over the Beis HaMikdash. But just like everybody understands that if you lose a relative, you lose somebody close, so the avelus doesn't begin and end during the shiva. It's a lifelong avelus, to some degree. The halachas may only extend for 30 days. But there's a meitzar, doyeg, tomin, on a loved one that you lost. That's the way it has to be with the Beis HaMikdash. That's the way it's supposed to be with the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, how is it humanly possible for a person to live up to this? To put on tefillin every day, to do chesed, to do a mitzvah. You can do it. Sometimes it's hard. Some mitzvahs are harder than others. But I think this is emotionally from the most difficult mitzvahs. Because again, how could you feel something that you yourself never experienced? How could you feel a loss over something you never had? How could you worry about something that you don't even know what it is? Worry, well, where is it? You never had it? How could you worry about it if you don't know what it's supposed to be? So this is something really that's very, 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 very difficult, very challenging. And that's what I try every year to share with you. Not so much to know how to feel on Tisha B'Av, really to know how to feel all year. And Tisha B'Av is the Tosefes. But Tisha B'Av is just a magnified feeling that we're supposed to feel really the whole year. That's really what it's supposed to be. I'm going to share with you something I heard from Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal many years ago, and also a like 60-second conversation that I was witness to between Rav Eliashiv Zecher Tzadik Levracha and a Rav that came to ask a Shaila while I was there talking to Rav Eliashiv. This is 3 years ago. And a Rav came in the middle asking a Shaila. And there was a 60-second back and forth between Rav Eliashiv and this Rav, which affected me much more than whatever the person's Shaila was. It was just a regular discussion. I'll tell you a nekuda that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal pointed out. We just read Megillas Eicha. You go through Megillas Eicha, you'll see a very interesting thing. Number one, look at the prokim. Eicha Yoshva Bada, that's Perek Aleph, right? There's basically five prokim in the Megillas Eicha, of which the last perek is more of a bakosha and a tefillah for the future. But if you look at, if you're listening to the first four prokim, each one has its particular aspect that it's bringing out. Of course, it discusses a lot of issues relating to the churban. But the first one really talks about Yerushalayim. Let's read a couple of psukim. Eichvo yoshvo vodod ho'ir rabosiyom. It's talking about Yerushalayim. Kohaneho bachureho amo. These are all talking about Yerushalayim and its people. That's the first kina. The second perek, the kina that the Novi is talking about here, is on Knesset Yisrael. So Maklal Yisrael. Eicho yoiv ba'apoy es bas tzion, hishlich mishamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael. So we talk over here in the second perek about the Klal Yisrael. It's almost our national pride. We were mamish, we were on top Klal Yisrael. Mishamayim eretz tiferes. And that's what we talk about over here. That's the second parak. So we hit Yerushalayim. We hit the fact that Klal Yisrael has gone down in its pride, in its glory. Then we go to the third parak, which talks about the individual, the avelus of the individual. Ani agever ro'oni. This is talking about the personal loss that each individual had as an individual. Finally, by Perek Dalad, we discuss over here the tzaras that actually occurred during the Churban. The specific tzaras. Eicho yum zohov, yeshana kesamatoev, tishtapach na'avnei kodesh. That's the fourth Perek. And then, as I said, the fifth Perek is about kosha on the future. Tzulandos. Rabbi Yangev pointed out, there's something very much missing here. What about the Shechina? We're talking about Klal Yisrael as a national pride, the glory of Am Yisrael. We talk about Yerushalayim, the glory of Yerushalayim, what kind of city it was. Right? We talk about the individual loss. We talk about the tragedies that took place. What about the Shechina? Why don't we have one parak that talks just about the Shechina? Rabbanu Shlomo. That was Rabbi Yankiv's Torah. That he pointed out. Not that there's no mention of the Shechinah. Of course there is. But it's definitely in hiding somewhat. I want to be aimed on another kasha that's asked by the Maram Alshech, really. He's the first one to ask the kasha. Many others discuss this kasha. On the Pasuk here in Yeshaya. Yeshaya Novi says as follows. He talks about the Gula Asida, when Mashiach's going to come. And Hashem says there'll be peace, kinahar shalom. Talks about us being elevated, al tzati nosu. And then Hashem says, kein anoichi anachemchem ubiyushalayim tunachamu. And in Yerushalayim you'll be consoled. That's the pasuk. This is Yeshaya. Asks, what do we need consolation? What do you need nichum avela? Let's say a person lost one of the shivik chayvim, lost a relative. And then there was a tchias hameisim. And the relative comes home. Would you go to be menachem avel? I would be a chutzpah. Menachem avel. The relative is back home. Mazel tov. If you go, you say mazel tov. What's Menachem Oval? There's no Menachem Oval. There's no Oval, there's no nothing. All there is joy. Simcha. Why does Yeshaya Novi say that when Mashiach will come, we will be elevated, we'll be back in Eretz Yisrael, and then Hashem says, I will be Menachem you, will be Yerushalayim Tunuchamu. Now we find a similar concept by Yitzchak Avinu. When he married Rivka, it says, "Vayinochem Yitzchok achar imo." He really felt better. He was consoled by having a wife, and also uses a lashon nechama. But there, Chazal explained to us that a wife has one role, and a mother has another role, and a wife doesn't fill the mother's role. Even though a wife takes care of her husband, it's different. It's a different role. So although Rivka Imenu filled a tremendous void in Yitzchak Avinu's life, he still was missing his mother. He still didn't have Rivka. He felt better. His wife made him feel better, but he still didn't have his mother. So there it makes sense, we say, that Yitzchak still needed consolation. Makes sense. But here the Navi is telling us, everything is going to be back. We're going to be back home. Everything's great. The Shechina, the glory, Claudius, so everything is back to what it's supposed to be. So why does Hashem need to give us Nechama? What's going on? We move on to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Novi. In several places, but right here in Eicha, Yirmiyah states, Eicha Yoshva Vodo Da'ir Abbasiyam Hoiso Ka'almona. So we say Yerushalayim was in a state like an almona, like a widow. We don't say Hoiso Almona, we say Hoiso Ke'almona. Like. We make an analogy. So Rashi comes here on the spot, and Rashi says, V'loy Almona Mamish. Not Mamish and Almona. Rashi says, Elo ki isha shalach bailu l'mdinas hayom v'dayta l'achzaretz. It's like a woman who doesn't have her husband home, but he's going to come back. So it's not mamish and almona. And taka, that's what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come back. And it won't be in the matzav of almona. Which really enhances the kasha of the alsha. Enhances the kasha of the alsha. What's this idea? Yirmiyah HaNovi is already saying that we are like an almona, even though Hashem is coming back. There's a state of almona. What does that mean? So now I'll share with you the machshove, what I learned, A, from what Rabbi Yankov said, and then this further discussion that took place between Rav Eliashiv and this Rav. This past Shabbos, we were learning the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avos states as follows. Rebbe Lezer ish pal toysa emel, tein loy mishaloy. You should give Hashem, when you're giving tzedakah, you're giving what Hashem wants you to give, mishaloy. It's really you're giving is His. Okay, that we all know. Everything belongs to Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom. So Tein Loi, when you're giving, it's really Mishaloi. What you're giving really belongs to Bereyel. She'ato v'shelcho ha'shaloi. Because both you and what you own is His. So the Mefarshim ask, what's ato v'shelcho? This was being discussed on Shabbos. What's ato v'shelcho? Both you and what you own belongs to Him. Just, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your money. So it should just say, Tein Loi Mishaloi, finished. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "V'chein b'dovid u'aymer ki mimcho akoyel u'miyotcho nasanu lach." This is the pasuk that Rav Eliashiv was quoting to this Rav. Ki mimcho akoyel, everything belongs to you, everything comes from you. U'miyotcho nasanu lach, that's like a repetition. But that's David HaMelech's statement in Divrei HaYomim. For some reason, the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos had to learn this out of a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, and also said, V'chein b'dovid u'aymer, this is not found in Pirkei Avos no more. Normally in Pirkei Avos we say, K'moy shenemar. We don't say b'dovid u'aymer. Here it's somehow connecting it to David. Why is it connecting it to David? So now I want to give you the thought, share with you the thought, that Rabbi Yankov told us many, many years ago. Rabbi Yankov said like this. He said, the truth is that what is the Beis HaMikdash? What is the Beis HaMikdash? We know that the very first time Hashem gave us a Beis HaMikdash, it was a Mishkan. It wasn't even a Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says in Ksubis that that Mishkan was even more Chavivus than the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Mishkan? Was it made out of wood? Take down, put it together, move it, take it, go, come. That was better than the Beis HaMikdash. So the Al Shech HaKodesh says, why? For also li migdosh v'shochanti b'seich. The Al Shech HaKodesh says that the reason why the Mishkan was so beloved is because when we had a Mishkan, we ourselves became vessels of Ashras HaShchina. We were living with the Shechina. So therefore, Even though the Mishkan was temporary and didn't have all the pizzazz and glory, physical glory of the Beis HaMikdash, but when we had the Mishkan, every Jew was a walking Hashuas HaShchina. Every Jew was experiencing that Hashuas HaShchina. The Mishkan wasn't something we went to 3 times a year, like when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we went to Be'el HaRegel 3 times a year. The Mishkan was a constant state of Hashuas HaShchina. That's what the Mishkan was. And that's why it was more choshev than the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rabbi Yankiv, that really, the main point of the Beis HaMikdash is not the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Hashuas HaShchina that gets facilitated through the Beis HaMikdash, which is what the Ramban Beferish says, what the whole purpose of Aliyah LeRegel was. He says, we went to Be'el HaRegel, so we go there and we leave with this feeling of godliness that it affects everything we do. Every time a Jew acts like a Jew, and you see in him the Shechina, that's Hashuas HaShchina. That's the Beis HaMikdash. That is the Beis HaMikdash. That's a piece of Hashuas HaShchina. I often repeat that my Shver, Zal Gesund Sein, told me this story many times, and I've shared it with the Olam. He said that there was a Yid in Switzerland. A Yid in Switzerland. An Alte Yid. And he called up the Gaboyim of Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann, Zal Sein Gesund in Bnei Brak, that he wants to see Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann. So he thought he wants to make an appointment, you know, to make an appointment. It's a whole process to make an appointment, to speak to him. He's a Korav LeMeir, Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann. Not already a mayor. He's an older man. B'li Ein Hara. And he wants to go speak to him. So the Gabbai says, well, how much time do you need? He says, I don't need any time. I want to take a plane. I'm an older man. I want to fly into Teretz Yisrael. I want to go to Bnei Brak, to Rav Steinemann's home. And I would like to look at him. I would like you to open the door. I want to see him, and then I'm leaving. I don't even have to say Shalom Aleichem. So the Gabbai thought this is a joke. It's a joke. That's how everybody does it. It's like when I get a call, I need the rub for a minute. If somebody tells me they need a half hour, I block the day off. If you're already telling me you need a half hour, I need a minute. Everything's a minute. Nothing's more than a minute. Ki elef shonim be'enecho ki yem esma. V'olachta bedrochov. So the Gabbai thought this is a joke. Well, he's flying in from Switzerland to come to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to open up the door for him. He'll take a look at Rav Steinemann, and he's going to leave. And that's why he's flying in. It's a joke. The guy made a haftach. He told him this all out. Anyway, they arranged it for him. They were sure that something else was going to happen. Turned out, it was exactly what he requested. I think at the end, Rav Steinemann gave him Shalom Aleichem. But that's all he wanted. He came, flew into Eretz Yisrael with his cane or walker, an older man. He came to Bnei Brak. They opened the door. He looked at Rav Steinemann. That was what he wanted. They asked him afterwards, and come on, what's going on with him? What was your purpose? He said, I've been living in Switzerland since I'm a kid. He says, and I'm a little younger than Rav Steinemann, but also moving on in the years. He says, in my town in Switzerland, he says, Bnei Torah, you could count them on your hands. Bnei Torah, weren't a lot of Bnei Torah. He says, there was a Beis Medrash in the middle of town, and we had a shayla in our home late Friday night, wee hours of the night. And my parents sent me to the Beis Medrash. Maybe the Rav or somebody is there to ask a shayla. I came in the Beis Medrash. There's a 15-year-old boy, Rav Steinemann, Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann. This is Friday, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, crazy hour. Learning in the Beis Medrash with the Geshmak, like a light is on him. He says, it was just bewildered by it. I never saw anything like it. Friday night, the whole... He says, it was just like a dream. I didn't know what's going on. So I went over to the guy and I said, First, I asked him his name. His name was Aaron Leib Steinemann. He says, I asked him, I said, so what's your plan in life? Like, this, it looked so weird and so out of the norm. Like, where are you heading? So he told him, I hope one day to be a klei chemda that the Shekhinah should dwell on me. This is a 15-year-old boy. He says, I almost fainted. First of all, what's a klei chemda that the Shekhinah should... I don't even know what that means. I hope one day to be a klei chemda that the Shekhinah... It's a Mishnah. Chavivim Yisrael shenikul klei chemda. That's what Hashem wants from us. That each one of us in our business dealings, in our behavior to other people, in our tefillah, in our chesed, we should glorify the Shekhinah. That was Rav Aaron Leib's single dream as a 15-year-old, 3 o'clock in the morning in some base medrash. He said, now I started hearing about this man, Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann. He says, I wanted to go see what's a klei chemda with the Shekhinah on it. I want to see what it looks like. That's why I came to make this trip. I want to see what this is. What is this? That was the person's trip. But really, that's what the Shekhinah is all about. When we went into Golos, says Reb Yankiv, the glory of the Shekhinah was really us. It wasn't the Beis HaMikdash. It was Klal Yisrael. And that's why in Megillas Eicha, we talk about Klal Yisrael going down. Because we really were the representatives of the Shekhinah. Us, the Anshei Yerushalayim. Us, Klal Yisrael. Us, each individual. We were the Churban, not the Beis HaMikdash. The Eibishter needs our Beis HaMikdash like a Lachem Baidem. He needs us. We are the Hashras HaShekhinah. And the Churban Beis HaMikdash is in each Jew. Every time, Chas V'Shalom, we make a Chilul HaShem, it's a renewed Churban. That's the Churban. And every time you see a Jew behaving the way a Jew should be, that's Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You're witnessing the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So in a sense, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Tzorech Odom Liyos Meitzar V'doyeg Al Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's our own lives that we're talking about. It's our own lives not being lives which are living testament of Hashras HaShekhinah. That's what we're talking about. Forget about the walls. Of course it'll be beautiful when the walls will be built up. And that's why when we think about a woman, imagine a woman whose husband is alive. She just doesn't have access to him. And they live for 50 years apart. People think I'm a sugar. I travel from the mountains to Muncie, so I shouldn't miss a night to spend together with my wife. Sometimes Talmidim say, Rebbe, you're going back for one night? I say, yeah. I say, Dave's still healthy, I should have 120 years with my wife. I don't want to lose a night of being with my wife, my mishpocha. Imagine if you have somebody who has a husband, doesn't have access to her husband. She lives 40 years without her husband. Kalmona! Okay. And then 40 years later, there's a joyous thing, there's a reunion. And he comes home. Does this woman need to be consoled for the 40 years that she could have been with her husband? In fact, when she has the joy of being together with her husband, she's going to reflect, wow, we could have had this for 40 years. Do you know when I work with a couple sometimes, and I'm zeicha sometimes to make shalom bayis, a couple that were unhappy, were living together not in the best way. You know how often they tell me how bad they feel at the waste of years? That they could have had harmony together. That they could have had a good life together. They could have been happy together. They thought they couldn't be happy together, but they could be. They need consolation. After they have the joy, they need to be consoled for all the time that they didn't have the joy. That they could have. When the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, and a Kovet Shamayim will be in the streets, we will then need consolation for all the churbanos that we caused ourselves, that we could have had been together with the Rabbi Mishloach. Every time we walk into a shul, we could be communicating with the Rabbi Mishloach. Or we could be who knows where. So we live a life, we could live 50, 100, 200 years without connecting to the Rabbi Mishloach. That's the churban. The churban is not the walls that are down. The walls are up, the walls are down. That's not the churban. Now I'll tell you what Rav Eliashiv said and what this Mishnah means. The Rav came to Rav Eliashiv. He was asking him a shayla. And then at the end of the shayla, Rav Eliashiv said, and how's everything going? How's the Talmidim? The Rav threw out the term Baruch Hashem, which is something we say how many times a day? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Right? We say it like we put on top of pay, we have it, we already have it typed on stationery. I remember when the yeshiva, this one, 23 years ago, when we printed our first stationery, the yeshiva, I didn't want them to print B'siyata D'Shmaya on top of the paper. I said, do me a favor, let's not print B'siyata D'Shmaya on top. I said, why? I said, for me, to print B'siyata D'Shmaya on top of the paper is the biggest plea. It means I'm not even going to take 3 seconds for today to say B'siyata D'Shmaya for today. I have to have it pre-printed for the next 50 years. That I don't have to write B'siyata D'Shmaya. I have to write that. So Rav Eliashiv looked at the person, he said, that this is a verbatim what he told him. The guy said, Baruch Hashem. How many times think in your life that you say Baruch Hashem? He said, Baruch Hashem. So Rav Eliashiv told him, Und auf dem darf man euch sagen, Baruch Hashem. What? He said, no, what he was talking about. Neither did I. I didn't know I didn't know where he was heading with that. So I didn't have an echo. He says, what do you mean? He says, the fact that you could say Baruch Hashem is also B'siyata D'Shmaya. On the Rabbanu Shalom is the garnished. The fact that you could thank Hashem, you also have to thank Hashem for that. So the Rav said, no, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Rav Yashu said, Fadem, that's an echo. Baruch Hashem. So the guy was like feeling uncomfortable. He says, no, it's enough, Mizol Tchach, Baruch Hashem. Because the guy was like, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. He said, no, it's enough, you could think it. Really, what Rav Eliashiv told him, but again, I've seen this years ago in the Koznetzer, but I never saw it played out the way I saw it by Rav Eliashiv, is in this mission in the Koznetzer. The Koznetzer says, when a person gives tzedakah, right? So even the most erlicha guy, some people look at it like, it's my money. I'm giving tzedakah, it's my money. People like that throw around, when they give money, they throw around their opinions. The more money they give, they feel they have more of a day. I give this, I give it. You give nothing. It's all the Rabbi Shlomo. But the people that think it's theirs, as the more they give, you see their opinion is... Then you have people that are erlicha people. They understand, you know what? Baruch Hashem, Hashem blessed me. I have a lot of money. I'm giving. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Talking to such a Jew who understands that what he has is not his, and Hashem gave him. But what does the Jew think? The Jew thinks, yeah, but I get credit for deciding to give it. For that, I give credit, and it's true. Kol nediv lev, how many times do we have in the Torah? Me'ez kolish asher yidvenu liboy. Because what could we give Hashem? Everything belongs to him. We could give him our desire. Listen what the Koznetzer says. Says the Koznetzer, tein loy mishaloy. When you give Hashem, you're giving, it's his. But not only that, ata, even your desire to give, and the fact that you're saying, I'm giving what Hashem gave me, that's also Shaloi. That's also Hashem's. That's mamish what Rav Eliashiv said. The Baruch Hashem is also Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, that you could say Baruch Hashem. Don't think you're a knocker. You know, Baruch Hashem, thank you. That alone. And that's the chain, the David who lived this way, said, Ki mimcho ha-koil, For Avraham Melech stated, everything comes from Hashem, and this that I can say that everything comes from Hashem, miyodcho nasan aloch, that I also got from you. I got from you the ability to recognize that everything comes from you. If we start living more like this, then we become living sources of Ashras Hashkin. And that's what we have to worry about. We have to look at our lives and think about the way we live and think about the way we're supposed to live, and that gap is the Churban. That's the Churban. So you want to know what the Churban is? That's the Churban. The Churban is from the way we're living our lives to the way we're supposed to be living our lives. And if we understand that, that's Mithab al Yerushalayim. That's the Avedis. Because each one of us, every moment of the day, in our actions, in the way, in our reflections, in our actions, in what we think and how we talk, can be ongoing examples of Ashras Hashchina. The Eibush is all health, and we should all be mechazek each other to reach this, and speedily in our day see the binyan see and v'choymish Yerushalayim.